Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the very first special live edition of Paranormal Activities with your host, Ben Axe, and a very special guest, the Vice President of AllLiveThingEntertainment.com and the host of Between Your Pipes live every Friday night at 7:30 p.m., Mr. I'm going to butcher your last name, but Mr. Archie, how do you say it? I'm not even sure.
Spagnolo.
There you go, Spagnolo.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, man. I appreciate being on the show. So, guys, he has some amazing ghost stories for us here in just a few minutes. But first, check out this awesome video package that he, Archie, made himself. Dude, I still love that video promo. Every promo you make, I'm like, that's just awesome.
It's funny because every time I watch it, I expect something to jump out. And it's like, I made this thing, but I still want something to jump out at me. It's kind of cool. I like it a lot.
Worked absolutely. Well. It's kind of like, you know, we off air talked about the Haunting of Hill House. And you go back and you watch and you see new things in the background each time. I'm expecting the same kind of, you know, same kind of thing.
Yeah, I got to try to do something like that where people don't notice it the first time around, and each time they watch it, they see something different pop out.
If you had time, you should make like the same video like six different ways. And then like, act like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what do you mean? I didn't see that.
That's awesome. But again, guys, hey, so just so you guys are aware, I'm planning to do the next, well, I guess all of the weekly activities episodes live right here on AEE just for the month of October. It's Halloween season. It's spooky season. People are into it. So I thought this would be a good time to take it live for just a little while here. And I have some awesome guests lined up. We have Archie right now this week. We have Tim lined up next week, the president of AEE, and a few awesome guests down the line. So pretty loaded month right here at Paranormal Activities, and I am excited. So Archie, tell us a little about yourself. Yes, I know you have your show every Friday at 7:30 p.m. involving hockey. Not cold or soccer, but just hockey.
Yeah, so Friday night, 7:30 p.m. It's kind of slowed down now with the season coming to an end, but you know, starting to do the countdown. We had some big trades happening already. A lot of movement when it comes to free agency. But things will slow down a little bit now as they gear up towards starting the new season, which is currently set for beginning of January. And, at that point it'll pick back up and you guys will get to be annoyed with my hockey talk again for another 82 games.
There you go. So did the season just end and it starts already in January? How long are their seasons?
Well, typically the season should have ended by June, but because of this whole return to play thing, everything got delayed. This is normally the time where the regular season would have started last week. So things got pushed over and they still plan on playing a full 82 game season. But they're going to try to pull back from going so deep into the summer. And I don't even know what the plan is yet. They haven't put anything concrete together yet with regards to how they're going to do all this, with traveling restrictions and all that between Canada and the US. So it'll be interesting to see as the weeks develop what their plan is.
Good deal. I'm excited. Well, I guess I'm an American. I don't watch. But I'm excited to watch your show and watch you be excited. I guess I should. So, all right, man. So I don't really know a whole lot about your paranormal background or your paranormal beliefs or any of that kind of stuff. We haven't really talked about it off air, but I do know you've been watching Bly Manor, and that's, I just finished watching it this weekend. So what did you think about Bly Manor and how realistic or unrealistic do you think that show and Hill House could be, if that makes sense?
So as we mentioned earlier, we were talking about this off air. I did also watch Hill House prior to this, and it kind of got me hooked. So we were really looking forward to starting this one here. And you know, we like to have the whole lights off effect.
Oh, absolutely.
To try to get in the feeling of the movie. And this one here, I'd love to binge watch only because I don't want to stop watching. I really want to see where it goes. But unfortunately, having, you know, a little one in your life and having to run around and wake up early every morning, and it makes it a little difficult to binge watch these days. But we are now on episode 4, and I'm loving it. I love the concept. I love how things can be really twisted. the first season, I think, was a lot more you had to really pay attention to, because I feel like the second time around, I noticed things that I didn't see the first time, which made it even more interesting. With this one here, interesting storyline. I feel so far, I can't speak to the end yet, but so far, three episodes in, it seems like a realistic storyline. Like it, everything seems like it could happen. Aside from some minor things, like, you know, the lady's tripping out, she sees cracked walls everywhere and then they disappear. But it adds to the mystery about it all. So I'm really looking forward to continuing that tonight and hopefully getting to the end of that real soon. But yeah, I've always been a fan of the paranormal stuff. And it'll be interesting. My story will be quite interesting. I still freak myself out sometimes.
Awesome. So let's get right into it, man. It's like the thing with Hill House and Bly Manor is my wife is all about the ghost stuff and she has all these experiences along with myself. And out of everything that I've ever seen, Hill House is the show and Bly Manor does the same kind of effect. It's the most realistic, in my opinion. It makes you feel that feeling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if you have ghost stories or ghost experiences, this is the only thing that I've ever watched ever that brings up that same feeling and the same kind of like, oh my God, holy shit. Yeah, that kind of feeling. So that's awesome. Let's get right into it, man. So again, I know nothing about your ghost stories. I know nothing about your background. I didn't ask you on purpose because I like to hear it for the first time on camera, whether that's silly or not, I don't know. But that's how I roll, man. So when did you first have a ghost encounter or ghost experience?
So it's weird because I experienced it as a kid, but never knew what to make of it. I never really knew what it was. It was more of one of those things where you always think of it as a nightmare that you're not quite sure ended and you're not quite sure what was real and what wasn't. So I just, you know, played it off like just another bad dream until certain things started to happen where you kind of stop in your own tracks and you're thinking, did this already happen? It's kind of like that whole deja vu experience, but on another level. It's like you almost feel like you already knew your next step before you even took it, but you still went ahead and did it, knowing what the outcome was going to be. And then you start to think back to experiences and you start to think, okay, there was messages being sent that I completely ignored. So I'll get into it in more detail now so that, you know, everybody makes sense of it all. So the first time I really, really experienced something that kind of gave me chills was, I'd say about 15 years ago. My uncle had passed away and it was an unexpected passing. He got sick, he had cancer, fought it for a while, and then ended up passing away. So everything was kind of, you know, typical. Someone passes away, you experience the grief and then you go into the mourning stage. And then slowly but surely, you know, everybody returns back to normal. Life continues for everybody else, right? Absolutely. I've never been a fan of visiting cemeteries. I get creeped out over it. I don't like it, although I do feel at peace when I actually do end up going. So there was three instances where I saw him and questioned what was happening in that moment. So the first one, I was driving into work one morning and I look over to my left and see a guy in a car and I could just catch the kind of like the back end of his face, but not full on front look. And no matter how hard I tried to catch up to this guy to see if it was him, I just couldn't. Whether the guy in front of me slowed down or he sped up, I could never get to the point where I could see the face. So that's where it started that morning. I was like, man, that was weird. I swear it was him. Obviously it wasn't, but triggered something.
Right.
Well, that night I go home, I'm watching TV and, of course, being a hockey fan, they're replaying old hockey games and they happen to replay the game. My very first game I went to as a kid where he gave me tickets to go because he couldn't attend. And it was a Leaf game in Toronto. And, I was like, what are the odds of that? Like, of all the games for me to be seeing right now, they're playing a random game from 1995 that makes no sense whatsoever. Didn't think anything of it. But messages starting to build up here, right? Absolutely. Go to bed that night and had the most realistic dream I've ever had. And it's vivid. Like, I can sit here and picture it even with my eyes open. I'm sitting at a table and he approaches me. And again, from an angle where I couldn't see him dead on, but I knew it was him. It was his voice. It was his presence. It was his body shape and everything. And he says to me, I can't see. I need your help. And you need to help me because I need everybody to know that I'm okay, but I can't see. I wake up in a panic, sweating, drenched, thinking, what in the hell was that? Like, what does he mean he can't see? So for days, it bothered me so much. I kept thinking about it. I was like, man, I don't want to go back to sleep knowing that I'm going to keep seeing him, right? Like, this is freaking me out.
Scary at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, why do I think I see him when really, I mean, I know he's not there. Right. Or do I? That's the weird part. Sure. So I decided, hey, there's only one thing I can do. Let me go visit him. So got off work, went to the cemetery. And I knew how to find him based on a certain tree and a ribbon that was tied in the tree that my family had put there. So that when we're looking, we know exactly what to look for. And he's right by that tree.
Oh, gotcha.
So I'm walking through, walking. I see the tree. I see the ribbon. I can't find him. I'm like, man, they didn't move him. I must have walked back and forth down that row. I kid you not, maybe 10 times. And it had snowed. Not completely snow covered, like you could see things, but enough that I could see where things were. Up and down, couldn't see it. I was like, I don't understand. I called my mom. I said, hey, just happened to come visit. Can you help me out here? I think I'm in the wrong spot. So she directs me and I'm like, I am standing right there. I do not see him. So I look down, there's a piece of cardboard on the ground. Rip the piece of cardboard off because it was frosted down, and there's his tomb. He couldn't see.
Oh, shit.
That's the message I got from it. He was covered.
Okay, so that's pretty crazy, actually. That's kind of...
Yeah.
Over there. So when you looked down, you just called your mom and you happened to be on his tombstone when you called her?
Yeah, I was standing right in front of it asking, like I said, I'm in the right spot. I can't see him. I have no idea where he is. I might be at the wrong tree. And then I laughed because I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I've walked through this several times. So I ripped this cardboard out and there it is. So I'm sitting there cleaning up the tombstone, you know, just making it nice and clean and whatever. And then I just started laughing and I'm like, he couldn't see. This is what he meant. Maybe like, you know, like it was covering the tombstone. Like,
absolutely. I mean,
could be anything, right? I could be going nuts, but it was just so weird that that's what led me to here, and essentially I had to uncover him and that was it. Never had that dream again, and to this day I think that was the message he was trying to say, man. Like, hey, I can't see, I'm good, but I need you to come and help me. Why he chose me, I don't know.
I mean, I would agree with you 100%. I mean, the fact that that was bothering you for that long of a time period, and then you go there. And the fact that what I really like about that, not like, but what really sticks with me in that story is that you just happened to be there and notice it. Like, mm-hmm. you were drawn to it, but you didn't see it.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. That's pretty wild.
So that was where there was no visual. It was all, you know, it started out as a dream and a feeling and whatever it was, it led me there. So that was my first experience. After that, I decided to talk to somebody and say, hey, man, does this happen? Like, have you ever heard of anything like this? So I went to go see, I thought this was crazy that I was going to do this, but I said, you know what? It doesn't hurt. Let me go. So I went to go see what they call is a Reiki, which is like a spiritual healer.
Okay.
So I went to see her, and what they do is they essentially cleanse your body of negative energy, through the process of, it's somewhat like of a meditation of sorts.
Gotcha.
So I'm laying there, no clue what to expect. So there's no, at any point, zero physical contact. The lady literally hovered over me with her hands, but no touching whatsoever. Eyes closed. I'm laying there. And I felt like she was doing CPR at one point. Like, I felt this pressure going down on my chest. I opened my eyes and I was like, whoa. And she said, I'm looking at her and she's like at my feet. And I'm like, what just happened to my chest? And she's looking at me. She's like I'm crazy. Right. And I said, I just felt like you literally pressed down on my chest with your hands. And she says, I was nowhere near your chest. I'm at your feet. I'm doing my thing. We haven't even started. And I have no clue what just happened.
Damn.
So I'm freaking out. I was like, okay, this is not good. We haven't even started yet. And I'm feeling this. So I thought, okay, maybe it's just me. I'm psyching myself out here. Right. So close my eyes. She continues doing her thing. As she's doing her thing, I can hear her breathing changing, and she's talking to me and she's saying, this is really weird. I feel somebody's here with us, but I don't know who it is. She said, we're going to keep going. If you get uncomfortable at any point, just let me know. She's like, this could be a lot for somebody who's never done this before. I said, no, let's go for it. So she's still doing her thing. And then she tells me, I'll be back. I need to leave the room. So at this point, I'm freaking out. Like, where are you going? You're going to leave me in here with this presence? Like, what are you doing? I'm not ready for this. Right. So she leaves the room, comes back with water. She looks exhausted. I'm looking at her. I'm like, what happened? She said, you have an incredible amount of energy around you. And she said, I can't tell good or bad, but she said, there is an intense amount of energy that I'm feeling off you. And she's like, there's a presence in this room that will not leave. And I'm not sure who this is. We're going to try to figure this out. I said, okay, let's go for it. So she says, he's a big guy, quite a bit of height to him. And he's sitting in the corner. He's got a smirk on his face. She's like, I can't describe him. It's like a blur I just see. But she said, he's just staring like he wants to say something. And I said, well, I don't know. Like, can we talk to him? Like, what do we do here? So she's like, I'm not sure what we do. She said, like, let's just keep going. She said, do you give me permission to open your channels? At this point, I'm thinking, do I really want to do this? Like, so I stop and I said, well, what do you recommend? And she said, if you are prepared and opening yourself to the fact that you may experience more of this, then we can go ahead. She's like, if you don't want this kind of presence, then I recommend you don't. And I said, well, I want to know who this is. So can we do it and take it from there? And she said, okay. So she goes ahead and she says this thing and she's reading out of a book and whatever. And she opened these channels. So at that point I felt like a subtle hand rest on my chest. And again, it wasn't her. Cause now at this point, my eyes are open. Okay. I can see where she is. And it just feels like there's, you know, just a light pressure on my chest. And she said, he's standing right beside you. I'm this close to saying, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom. So we're sitting there. She says, he's standing beside you. And he's basically saying, thank you. And I'm like, what did I do? And she said, he's laughing. And he says, I can see again. At this point, I freaked the fuck out because it's like, she didn't know that story. Right. So there's no way that she could possibly know what had happened. So I kind of laughed, but at the same time went stiff as a board. And I was like, okay, I'm good. Like, I know who it is. I'm happy that he's happy. Let's put an end to this. Shut that door. I don't want to deal with this anymore. So we go through the process, comes to an end. She says, when you're done, get up extremely slowly, drink some water. Do not get up and start walking. You're going to feel really weird. So she does this thing with like a burning incense type of thing all around me. She leaves the room. I get up. And of course, just like when you tell a kid, don't touch that, it's hot, you go and touch it. So naturally I get up and start walking. My knees buckled, like felt like somebody just gave me a sweeping leg kick and just knocked me right on my ass. Fall to the ground. I'm like, this is all in my head. This isn't happening. I sit down, I drink my water, and I'm just sitting there. She walks back in and she said, you got up and started walking, didn't you? And I said, yes. And she said, well, do you believe me now? And I said, I want to say no, but yes, I believe you. And I'm going to listen to whatever you tell me to do here. So we leave the room. We're walking towards the kitchen. And she says, she's actually exhausted. She said, that was one of the most intense sessions I've ever had. She said, you have an ability to open channels to a lot of things that you may not be ready for. But she said, if you ever decide to explore further, feel free to come back and see me and we can look into that. At that point, I thought, is this a pitch, a sales pitch to get me to come back and spend another $100, whatever it was?
All right.
But I couldn't doubt her because after what I just experienced and the fact that she had no idea about that story, and it's like, what are the odds that she would say, he says, thank you, I can see now. You know, like that's pretty particular to my previous experience.
Absolutely. It's validation at that point. I mean, that validated what you experienced. 100%.
So I got in my car and I sat in my car for a good 20 minutes before I actually started driving because I didn't know where I was going. Like I'm sitting in my car thinking, nobody's ever going to believe this. Like I have no clue how to even explain what I just went through, but that was incredible. So that's number two. That was the second crazy experience. And at that point I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go back to her unless I really feel the need to, because I'm not sure I really wanted to open myself up to those kinds of experience. Like I already have insomnia. I don't sleep. The last thing I need is another reason to not want to sleep. So a few years later, Christmas Eve at my cousin's house, they decide to pull out the Ouija board.
Oh,
I'm thinking this is garbage. I'm like, this is right. Stupid. Only idiots believe in this stuff. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, am I going to pretend like I don't believe this now? Because now after all that I've experienced, I'm scared. I'm scared to put my hands on this damn thing. Right.
That's just favorite Barker brother. Should be all right.
So we start going slow at first. Everybody's kind of looking at each other. It's like, you move that. No, I didn't move it. I didn't touch it. You did it. No, I didn't do it. My hands are barely touching it. We're all blaming each other. So all of a sudden, my cousin's wife, she's really into this spiritual stuff. So she's taking the lead. She takes control of it all. And she says, guys, you need to take this serious. Like, let's stop with the shit. Let's go. So she starts asking questions. And at one point, one of the questions was somewhere along the lines of, are someone with us or is anybody here with us? It goes over to yes. So at this point, I'm like, okay, if any of these guys is messing around right now, I'll know because I'm going to ask the next question that nobody would know the answer to.
There you go.
So I said, okay. I said, can I ask? She said, yeah, go ahead. So I said, well, can you identify yourself? Starts kind of circling slowly around the yes. I was like, okay. And I said, what does that mean? She's like, try. So I said, can you spell your name? Straight to no. Okay. I said, I don't know what else to ask, but I want to try to figure out who this person is. So she asks, in an attempt to try to figure out the date of birth, can you tell us an important date that sticks out to you? The hands start moving. We're all staring at each other, and I could see everybody's barely got their fingertips on this thing, that I could tell if someone was dragging this thing around, we would know who was doing it. So at this point, I'm thinking, okay, I'm freaking out, but I want to know where this is going. So it starts to go around dates and whatever. The specific date it chose was December, and I'm not lying about this, and I will never forget it. It started going slowly, so it starts spelling out the dates, and it basically spells out December. Okay, what I can't think of what important day wouldn't be in December, right?
Fair enough.
It's over 20th, and it stops. Okay, December 20th. What's December 20th? Thinking. Can't figure it out. Okay, let's keep going. So in the back of my head, I'm just replaying this date, December 20th. What the hell is December 20th? Not even trying to think about my uncle. Sure shit, December 20th is his birthday.
Oh, that fuck. Yeah.
I hadn't said anything at this point, so we're still moving around trying to figure this out. I haven't clued in that that's his birthday. So she asks again and she said, well, who are you here to see? Spells out my name. I'm looking at these guys. I'm like, you guys are jerks. Why you got to pick on me for? Let's ask for somebody else. So she asks, can you leave us? No. Great. Of course. So we're sitting there. I was like, okay, well, can we find out what he wants or what they want? So she starts asking questions, kind of hovering around, not giving a definitive answer, just kind of going over letters and not really stopping to spell anything. So I was like, okay, we're not getting anywhere with this. Like, what do we do now?
Right.
All of a sudden, with no question asked, start spelling. What does he spell? Thank you. I'm like, man, this is not cool. I got your first thank you. Don't need any more, man.
There you go.
At this point, these guys have no idea about the story. So once again, I'm experiencing this without having told anybody anything. So it wouldn't make sense that they would have the idea to write thank you or the date or even think about him. So I was like, okay. And keeping in mind, this family is not even the relative family of that uncle. He's from my mom's side. This okay. was my dad's side. So it's not like they would have any interest in that.
Right.
So I said, okay, I think I know. I think I know who it is. I think I know the message. Can we try to move on from this? They bugged me forever to try to answer why I did that and whatever. And then eventually I told them the story. They didn't believe me. They thought I was nuts, which I guess is often the case. Suffice to say, I've never touched a Ouija board since that day. And I don't think I ever will.
I don't blame you. I stay away from it myself, man.
Yeah. Heard so many stories about them. And then finally, after having that experience myself, I thought, okay, one and done. Not touching it. Don't care. Don't want it. Don't want to see it. So that was another one. The last experience I had, I to this day don't know what it was that I saw or who it was or why, but I do know that I was not the only one who saw it, and that's what scares me even more.
Okay, real quick, we're not to cut you off, but yep. So you have four stories. The first three, definitely your uncle.
Yeah. This one, definitely not.
Not your uncle. Okay.
No. So this one, I have no idea. I can't relate to the other three. So this one here, driving down a major highway, pretty busy highway, and driving down the street, same route I take every single day to get to work, stuck in traffic, looking around, you know, just checking things out and doing my usual thing, driving around, playing music, whatever. I look up, and on the bridge, that's the overpass is where I'm about to drive under, I see really quick, just what looked like just a big black figure holding a white flag. So I'm like, must have been a protester or something, right?
There you go.
Pass under the bridge. I look in my rear view. I don't see him anymore. I was like, that's a little weird. I get off the highway, go back all the way around, get back on before the underpass to drive through again. As I'm driving by, I look up. There it is again. At this point, I'm looking straight up and I see him. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm staring at this black figure with a white flag. I look over to the guy beside me. He's doing the exact same thing. So we're both looking up. I look at him. At this point, I don't know. I'm thinking it's a protest. He's looking at me, white as a ghost. He sees me pull over to the shoulder. He follows and pulls over in front of me. I said, did you? And he said, yes. He said, the crazy thing is, we're looking still at that spot and we don't see it from this side now. So why did we see that? I said, dude, I drove around twice and that's the second time I've seen it. So he's freaking out. We're both freaking out. I kid you not, within 3 minutes of both of us being parked on the shoulder of the highway, a truck comes barreling through, wipes out these big concrete barrier things that they have in the highway and flips onto its side. And just smoke everywhere. I am freaking out at this point, thinking, what just happened? Why? So you can imagine what's going through my head.
Sure.
Did I see death? Like, what was that? Who was that? Was that a sign? Was that a warning? Was I supposed to keep driving? I don't know what the hell that was. I watched every news channel I can think of that day. I even saw pictures of the accident where you could see the bridge in the picture and there's nobody up there, no black thing with a white flag, nothing. I don't know the guy. I didn't get any of his information, so I have no idea who he was, but all I can think to this day is that whatever happened that day, that seeing that and deciding to stop may very well have saved my life, or it may not have. I mean, I should have still been driving. I shouldn't have done that.
That's fair.
Get off and get back on, right? But I did, and it's like I saw it again, and I pulled over, and then that happened. And I thought, if that's not a sign, I don't know what is, man. Like,
yeah,
scare the crap out of me. So that's something that I decided I had to share with somebody. And I thought, you know, no one's going to believe this other than the guy, the dude that saw the same thing, but who can ever prove that, right? So I told my mom about it and she starts crying. And I said, well, why are you crying? She said when she was a kid, she was, this was in Italy where she grew up. They used to do, you know, kind of like, I don't know if you guys do this in the US, but people go apple picking, pumpkin picking, whatever the case may be.
We read about it when we're kids, but never seen anybody actually do it. So I'm going to go with no.
Okay. I mean, you get the concept, right? You go and farm trees, sure. Pick your apples, whatever.
They do.
So in Europe, it's olive trees. So when they were kids, that was, you know, one of their chores was to go and pick olives from the olive tree so they can bring it home and then grandparents can crush it, make oil, whatever the hell they do. So she said that as a kid, she was with her friends and they were all picking olives, and she had a very similar experience where she looked up and she saw, what looked like, what everybody thought was like, someone dressed like a priest running back and forth on this bridge. Not stop, like nonstop, just back and forth, back and forth. And when they went up to the road back to their cars, they had no idea who it was or where it was or where this person was running back and forth from, because there was nothing. It was just a dead road at the end of a farm, right? So it freaked her out, because the way I described it was exactly as she, minus the flag. She said there was definitely no flag. It was just a figure running back and forth on this bridge. Well, 3 weeks later, there was a murder in that very field, in that farm. And they would normally go every week to go and do their fair share of all the picking or whatever. And for whatever reason, that week they didn't go and somebody was murdered. So that freaked her out. And she started, you know, we had this conversation, like, what did you do? And back then when they were kids, I mean, you didn't talk about this kind of stuff. Like there was no paranormal, you know, like it happened and people just didn't talk about it because people would think you're nuts.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so that was a story I shared with my mom, and to hear that she saw something similar.
Yeah.
No words, man. Like I, to this day, every time I drive through that, I look up, never seen it again. And on all I can replay every time I pass it is I remember that day, and whether that was somebody saving my ass or that was somebody telling me to pay attention to things around you at all times, it happened, and nobody was with me to witness it except for buddy that was beside me. But there was a news article and everything that showed the accident. I mean, I couldn't prove that I was there, but
right.
I could talk about it. I mean, I saw it all happen. So, crazy experience. And I've thought about going back to that lady before, to try to see if that negative energy that she said she felt was still there. But I don't think I can bring myself to do it because I don't want to know certain things. And I feel like you could open a can of worms that you may not necessarily want to open. But I do definitely believe in stuff after those experiences. I don't doubt that, there are things out there. There are things that some people, maybe not everybody, can experience. And I don't know how it tags along to outer body experiences, but I've definitely had a number of those that have left me kind of blown away. But it's definitely something that I will never dismiss the way I used to when I was younger and used to think, you know, ghosts are bullshit, doesn't happen, it's all a lie. And then you start to experience things, and just like you said with these shows now, where they're a lot more realistic and they're not just, you know, way out there far-fetched ideas. So yeah, those are my brief experiences with what I feel is not something many people would have experienced in life.
Man, those were phenomenal stories. I believe you're the first person that I've talked to personally who has had a experience with the Ouija board. So that's fun. I haven't talked to many people about them. I never have personally, but I said don't mess with them. But now I want to talk about real quick the guy you saw on the bridge. So, like you mentioned, was it death? Was it a warning? You know, because I've heard of stories kind of like that, and the fact that you have one and your mom has one, you can't dismiss that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm not really biblical when it comes to my paranormal stuff, which could be contradictory, I suppose, since and some people. But like, could it be like the angel of death that you hear about, or could it be something else? If, you know, you mentioned already that it could have been a warning for you to move, but in reality, you shouldn't have been there anyway because you already went through once. So what was maybe he was just telling you to keep moving, and like you didn't see him in your rearview mirror, but when you came back, you saw him again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What was that? I'm very curious. I'm going to be doing some Googling about that, honestly.
I am too. Like I'm telling you, I've lost sleep trying to research if other people have ever experienced similar things. And you fall into this dark side of the web. Google takes you down a very dark tunnel when you start looking up this stuff. I'm sure you know. And at the end of the day, it all comes down to being able to compare it to other people's experiences, because that's really all you got to go on. I mean, back then when it first happened, there was no Facebook. There was no, you know, like internet was more used. I used it for school. I didn't use it for any of this stuff. So
absolutely,
if I had access to the resources we have now, I feel like maybe I would have had, not necessarily answers, but a little more insight, and maybe other people who can relate to similar situations they've been in. But even now I look at stuff and I can't tell you how many times I'll be sitting watching TV and I hear shit, and it's not like I'm going crazy. I can hear stuff that sometimes other people around me don't hear. And it's like, do I just hear things better than most people? Like, right. What is it? And I'll be sleeping at night sometimes, man. And I tell you there's a specific room in my house that there's no TV in. It's a spare bedroom. There's no TV in that room. We use it just store stuff and just pile up stuff and whatever.
Gotcha.
And I will hear as if there's a TV on, and I will go in there and there's no TV on, but I can hear conversation. I can't tell what it is, but I hear muffled sounds of two people talking. And it's like,
oh yeah,
everybody's asleep. My neighbors there's distance between the houses. It's not like we share a wall. So Right. Where the hell is this coming from? And I'll, you know, the next morning I'm talking about it, I'm thinking, I think I'm going crazy. Cause like where'd it come from? Where was it? No radio, no TV. That room's empty. So what am I hearing? And I can never tell what it is. It's always just conversation. It's almost like you're at a bar and you hear people talking, but you don't know what they're saying.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I have experienced. I lived in a house back in 2014 for a year and a half, and I've experienced only in that house. I've experienced that, but oh yeah, it'd be in the morning and the exact same thing. And it's aggravating because you just think back, like, am I insane? Cause I heard it, but I don't know what they're saying. People ask you, well, what would they say? Well, I don't know what they said. you know?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You don't.
That's awesome. That's, I really like those stories. I would say it sounds to me like you are sensitive, but you also pointed out that you don't really want to be. So you have like a block up or whatever. And that's probably the way to go. Cause you're right. You said that if you could open up a can of worms if you so chose. So it's a thing. And that's why, you know, we stage our house off. I stage my house after every episode that I do, which sounds kind of insane. People could be like, well, that's stupid. You know, white sage, and we use it quite frequently because of that same thing, kind of to keep the block up, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you and your mom, because then you said that your uncle was your mom's side of the family, right?
Yep.
I mean, it kind of makes sense when you put it all.
It's together. Like there's that little bit of a bubble, like it encompasses all kind of like around the same side of the family. So it's weird. It used to freak me out more. Now it's kind of one of those things where I look back and think, I wonder if I'll ever experience something like that again. And you start to think of a lot of stuff that deja vus, are they a thing? I've experienced more than I can count where I will be in a situation and feel like I've been here before. I've done this already and I'm going to do it anyways because it just, that feels like that's what I got to do. And you can't stop it. You can't alter what you feel you've already done, which is weird.
That is weird.
So you're sitting there and it's almost like you could play the whole scenario in your head, but you can't change it. It ends up still playing out that exact way. And it's crazy because I've had cases where I'll be sitting with somebody talking about something and I know what they're about to say to me, but I can't change what I say to alter what they're going to say, if that makes any sense.
It does. It absolutely does.
So
you already did it. You have to finish it.
Yeah. So it's like, again, it comes into all those things, past lives and religious things and this and that. And were we here before? Were we here as another being? It opens up so many questions that I wouldn't even know where to start to even try to think without racking my brain. And when I found out that you did this show, at first I thought, I wonder to what extent you go, like what sort of topics you discuss and whatever. And then I started listening and I'm like, okay, you know, you're not just some guy chasing ghosts with a flashlight in an empty house. Like, you've actually spoken to people who've had their experiences and you've done your own research and quite in depth. So I thought, okay, I got to be on the show because now I'm curious to know what kind of feedback I get from any viewers or from yourself with any experiences you may have had that were similar. I'm curious, man, like compared to other stories you've heard. I mean, you mentioned the Ouija thing you've never heard. To this day, I want to say that was a lie, but I just can't see how. Like, they would never know to specifically say those things that they did because they didn't know what I'd experienced already. So
right. You can't make that up. No, absolutely.
No, it made no sense to me.
Sure. And that makes sense. When it comes to the Ouija board, I honestly don't have experience. I've used one once in the middle of the day and nothing happened, and that was it. And I just kind of stayed away from them because it gives me a weird feeling, and it could be just in my head because there's so much negative responses to Ouija boards.
Mm-hmm.
But I use a spirit box, which is a tool to talk to ghosts, which is essentially what a Ouija board is. So what's the difference? I don't know. But
in comparison, have you ever had that kind of, you mentioned you've heard
conversations, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you've heard talking.
Right. So when it comes to what you experienced, for my personal comparison, I guess, the talking, absolutely. And when it happened to me for a year and a half, it drove me insane. Happened to me, I lived with a girl at the time. It happened to her. She would call me freaking out. And with that scenario, with both of us, it only happened in the morning. Like, I would wake up, I'd be awake, I would hear it, and then I'd be like, what is that? And then, you know, it would stop. That was that scenario. But just how you described, it's like being in a bar, you just hear people talking, but you're not really paying attention to what they're saying, so you don't hear it. You just hear it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy. And I will say this, too. Like, you mentioned that you hear noises a lot.
Oh, man. yeah.
So I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told anybody, including my wife. This is something I just haven't told her because I just haven't felt like I needed to. And so right here, exclusively on this episode, it's not every morning, it's not every day, but I go to work. I leave my house around 6 a.m. and I go to work. And so it's still dark out. And every morning, I swear to God, I see, if I look in the rearview mirror, like if I'm passing somebody or whatever, whenever I look in my rearview mirror, I will see, not every time, but sometimes I will see eyes. Not my eyes, I just see eyes. So I look, and I see, like in the back seat, like right behind the driver's side or the passenger side seat, I'll just see eyes. And I'm like, what? Then they go away. And that has happened not every day, but pretty regularly for a couple of years now. And I was compared that to your noises because it's not, you know what I mean? Like, when you start focusing on it, it kind of goes away, but it's there. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know who it is. I have an idea on who it is, but I don't know for sure. I never try to figure that out. I just see it like, oh, screw that. And then I, you know, move on with my life for the rest of the day. I've never experienced anything like your bridge story. As far as I can remember from people that I've interviewed, I don't think so. I really like that. That one really sticks with me for some reason. I don't know why.
It's definitely something that I just, force of nature now, every time I drive by that. For a while, I actually avoided that. I would go off the highway, pass it, get back on, because I was so freaked out after what happened with the accident and this and that. It was kind of like, I didn't even get hit, but I felt like I need to avoid this. I don't want the what if to happen, you know? Absolutely. And when it comes down to what you said with eyes, it's with me with the sounds. It's like people say, you know, it could be sounds from the house shifting because it's a brand new house.
The things
I hear are not, I know what those sounds are like, and it's not that. Like, I'm talking, I will be laying in bed 3 o'clock in the morning and I hear like someone's knocking on the door. So it's like, okay, I'll check my cameras. Nobody out there. So I'll walk down to the door, look out the window. Nobody's out there. Alarm is still set. Cool. Go back to bed. 10 minutes later, what feels like I've been sleeping for hours, hear it again. I look at the time. Man, I was just down there. What the hell? Now it sounds like it's the glass door, our patio door. Sound, you know, the difference between knocking on wood and knocking on glass.
Absolutely.
Full difference. And I can totally tell it's on glass. Go back downstairs. Check the back door. Back door is locked. We got the security arm in place. Everything's good. And I'm thinking there's nothing outside that could be brushing against it from the wind. There's nothing outside that could be knocking against it. So we live close to a ravine, big forest back behind there. So I thought, okay, could have been an animal came out, nudged against the glass, whatever, trying to paw to get in. Fine. I'll discredit that too. Go back to bed. And then in the morning, I always wake up before my alarm clock goes off. And it's like, call it your mental alarm, call it whatever it is. But every time I do, I wake up thinking that I've been woken up, like a shake. And it's like, I'd say 4 days a week, I wake up to a, like that, kind of like someone just grabbed you in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. There's nobody there. Everybody's asleep except for me. So it, that comes down to the whole thing about when she said there was somebody in the room and he had said, thank you. I keep thinking, am I experiencing similar situations where there's someone at the end of my bed? Someone's there, a presence. And it's scary because you don't know what to do or how to address it. And depending on who you talk to, someone's going to think you're nuts and call a doctor. So I keep it to myself. But I mean, I feel like in this case, I'm talking about it because I thought, hey, maybe somebody else can relate. Maybe you might have other people who might want to come on and talk about their experiences, because now they say, okay, I'm not the only one. This crazy guy has told his story. So there's something else out there too. And now that you're saying you see eyes, anybody else would say you're nuts. But I'm thinking, just like you said, hey man, this, why would you lie? Why would you make up that you see, why would you even want to see that?
Yeah, it makes no sense. Like, oh, to get attention, that's negative attention. That's very negative attention.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those things where you wonder in the back of your head, what was that? Why did I see it? Does anybody else see it? The sound is just me. Nobody else hears them in the house. So I don't know.
That's pretty wild. I mean, that's what it sounds like. You know, this, I'm not an expert. This is why this show is. I just talk to people. I have not an expert by any means, but it sounds like you may, because like, I fully believe that some people are sensitive. That's the term I use, sensitive and like not sensitive. Mm-hmm. And from my experiences, if you are sensitive, if you do have the ability to hear or communicate with, you know, ghosts, they will try to, because they want to talk. You know, they want to, at least a lot of them want to. And so if you have that ability, they might try. And obviously it sounds like your uncle was a big part of that, and that's positive. You know, I wouldn't be afraid of that. But it's also possible that, you know, a ghost is walking around and, oh, he can hear this. So then they go to where you're at and they start doing stuff because they want to talk to you. It's not bad necessarily, but they want to talk. You know what I mean? And that's something that my wife is super sensitive, and we have to like take measures to prevent that, because, you know, it's Wednesday at 8 a.m. We can't deal with that shit right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it sounds to me that you're on that same scale to a point, if that makes sense.
So get this. I live on what used to be, I think maybe 10, 12 years ago, a horse cemetery. So it was a huge horse farm that had a really big portion of the area was burial grounds for horses. And if you walk through the foresty ravine path behind our house, you can, they have like the tomb set out and orange little flags where, you know, they try to get people to not walk. And, you know, if you're going to walk through there, be mindful of where you're walking. And it's kind of fenced off. So you look down and, you know, horses have interesting names, right? People give them these bizarre names. Sure. And the one that got me the most, and again, I don't know if there's a tie to it or what the hell the case may be. One of the horses' names is Sleepy Sam. Sam is my uncle's name.
I was going to say, is that your uncle?
So what are the, I freak myself out thinking about it because it's like, there's too many things that are similar. And it makes you wonder because he was like a dad to me. Like he was the number two. Like every time, my dad's not a sports guy. My uncle was. So it was like, hey, don't worry. I'll get you this. I'll get you that. So it's like he was like a dad to me. And right. When he passed away, I was asked to be a pallbearer, and I've never done this before. So I had no idea what to expect. And you're going to laugh. The only pallbearer I've ever known is from wrestling. So hey. I got to walk around holding this thing in my hand and earn. No, completely different.
The Undertaker? I don't know.
Yeah. So, and that's how it all started. This connection I feel was made the day I was asked to do that, because from that day on, I have had all these crazy connections that always somehow end up tying up to him in one way or another. So I like to look at it as this is a way of him saying he's looking out for me, maybe, or that he's always around. You know what I mean? Like it makes you wonder what, sometimes you question what's real and what's not. Like, it's crazy because if it's only you experiencing it, to you it's real, but is it really? Like, it's so hard to even wrap your brain around the idea of what could be going on and what really is going on at the time. And yeah, like even talking to you about it right now, if I was on the other end, I'd think this guy needs help. It's well, nuts.
I don't think you need help. I think you're very sane, and I really appreciate you telling me all of those stories. They had me in them the entire time. I was picturing everything from the tombstone to your house. I mean, that was nuts. So,
yeah, the tombstone story was something else because it made me laugh, but at the same time, it was like a very, very direct message, and I was like, this is what he meant. He couldn't see. He was covered with cardboard.
Absolutely. And you said that because actually it was not long ago. Back, I can probably even tell you, it was June. Back in June, I went to my hometown of St. Mary's. I have my best friend, his grandma passed away. And I went to the funeral like back when, this was like 5 or 6 years ago. And I was really close to her. I've known her since I was in third grade or whatever. And I went back to the cemetery to see her tombstone. Couldn't find it. Just like what you said, you've been there. You knew where it was. Same thing. Now, I just didn't find it. I left without finding it. but yeah, it's weird how that happens. Like, you know, yeah, where
you
it
know
is.
Where you are. It's not like they could just up and leave. You know what I mean? Like, what happened?
Absolutely. And like, I'm pretty sure she just upped and moved away because I couldn't find her.
But, relocated.
I guess so. All right. So we do have a couple of comments here I'm going to get to, but we are live and you have videos to show off here for us. So I'm going to go ahead and show our AEE social media. You can follow AEE on all of these social platforms here. All right. I still love your videos. All right. So we do have a couple of comments here. So let's just go ahead. So it's basically just a couple. So big shout out to all of our viewers, Yvonne DeBoard, Melissa Strack. Appreciate you all watching. Tank watching. Appreciate you all. And then we have Joe. I'm going to butcher this name too. I'm really bad at names. Joe Seart III. He asked if paranormal experiences can be dreams and not necessarily seeing a ghost. And from my experiences, I would say that is accurate. And this is what you know, as well. So, yeah, I think so. And he said, if so, that's super. I can actually show the audience here. So if so, that's super comforting because I've been visited in dreams by dead friends to comfort me from their loss. And while in a dream, it felt like real communication. And that is absolutely 100% correct as well.
Crazy. It is the craziest thing.
It is. And some people would say, well, it's just your own brain comforting yourself. And, you know, maybe sometimes it is. I'm sure there are times when that is the case. But at the same time, sometimes that's not the case. That's just my belief. And yeah, you've experienced the same thing. So is there any other questions you have for me? Anything else you want to share before we wrap it up? We're just about an hour in here.
What's your next thing, man? Like, where do you want to take this with trying to dive deep into something? Like, if you could choose one aspect of any sort of paranormal umbrella, what would you say is the most intriguing to you that you want to dive into?
Honestly, I try to get scientific if I can. I believe in science, I believe in evolution. I don't believe in ghosts because ghosts make no sense to me. I believe in aliens because aliens are scientific as you can get. You know, there's a ton of planets out there. There's another rock out there with oxygen that can support life, and it makes total scientific sense. Ghosts do not. So one of my goals, I guess, is to figure out what is the other side. I say ghosts because people know what ghosts are, but like, you know, what is the paranormal? What is actually out there, and how are they out there? You know, like, how are relatives who are still communicating with us, how are they doing that? Why are they doing that? And what's the point? And then what is the next step of life? Because I don't believe that this life is it. And you know, once you pass away, my belief is that there is another plane of existence, which I've talked about in other episodes. I've had people back that up with their stories and their experiences and that kind of stuff. And so my goal, I guess, without saying a lot more words without any meaning, is why. Like, what's happening? And I also, my next step for the show is to start doing some on-location paranormal investigations. I never considered myself an investigator. I just stepped into it after starting the show. I've done a few now. And I just want to start, you know, catching some more evidence and getting outside of my scope. Because so far, most of my experiences are through my wife and her family. And then I've had a few of my own. And then I lived in a haunted house, which I don't think was actually haunted. I think the person I lived with was haunted. Different subject altogether. But, you know, I want to kind of broaden my scope and actually start experiencing paranormal experiences elsewhere, outside of my own house and my own family and my own stuff, if that makes sense. And that broaden, you know, everything. Because it's just one big puzzle is all this is. And you start taking the pieces from everybody's experiences, everybody's knowledge, and throwing them together. That will open up the aspect. That will open up the bigger picture of what we're actually experiencing, what our life means on Earth, and what else is out there. You know what I mean?
So you said you don't believe in ghosts. Now, what I think, and I want to touch on this because I think people sometimes have a hard time differentiating between ghosts and spirits.
Right.
Do you believe in spiritual stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I believe in ghosts. The word ghost has a stigma to it. So I say, yeah. Like, I don't believe in, like, oh,
you don't believe in Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Right. I get a guy with chains walking around banging against the wall for
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I honestly don't believe in haunted houses either. Like, I just don't believe that a spirit is physically stuck in this house until whatever. Now, I think that happens, and I think it, I don't know, I'm going to get probably some backlash, but I feel like it's probably more of a mental thing than anything else. Cause like, why? Yeah, cause I can't say for a fact cause none of this is proven, but I've experienced personal ghostly encounters of spirits who do bounce around. They can be here one day and then they're somewhere else tomorrow. And so, you know, why would a ghost want to just stick in the same house? But the question is, though, I've been to Waverly Hill Sanitarium by Louisville, Kentucky, definitely haunted with a lot of spirits. Why would they choose to stay there? So that kind of contradicts what I'm saying. But my question, you know, my whole goal is to figure out why that is. Why can some ghosts bounce around? Why can some not? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So have you ever had an experience where you've gone somewhere other than your home or wherever and neutral grounds, somewhere you've never, you know, experienced anything. And have you actually gone somewhere and then experience something that kind of leaves you like, whoa, what just happened?
When it comes to places, I don't think so. I can remember, I'm trying to think. I think most of my experiences have been in homes. Like I've had, and not just my home, I've had buddies. There's one house in particular that I'm going to hopefully interview. It's my buddy's dad. We've talked about it. His house is haunted AF. and he'll tell you, he sees the ghost. I've seen the ghost. But when it comes to visiting a location, I don't think so. That I can recall off the top of my head, and that could be wrong, but I can't think of any place that I've just visited that wasn't a house that was haunted, other than the Evening Leader, which I actually did a ghost investigation a few months ago. And I actually have some audio from that. So, but that was an actual investigation, and we had some spirit box activity. But other than that, I don't think so. I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. Crazy, man. I feel like you're, I love the premise of this show, and I feel like this is definitely something that might start pulling a lot of people in when it comes to questioning reality versus outer realms or whatever you want to call it. But I think outer body experiences or spiritual experiences or visions, different types of things like that, I feel like it happens to a lot more people than we know. And I think a lot of people either don't feel comfortable talking about it or don't give it the credit that they should be giving it when it comes to what it could mean, right? Like I look at everything as everything happens for a reason. So it's a message being sent. And that's my positive spin to it. But again, it freaks me out thinking that sometimes it may be somebody else's message that I've now intercepted or gotten, right? So that's the scary part. That's the part that kind of gets me.
It is scary. And, you know, and I definitely, and this is a big scary part for me, is I definitely believe in good and evil, whether it's heaven and hell. Again, I try to keep religion out of it. But we've encountered mean spirits, and you got to be able, and that's why I don't like, I get annoyed a lot when I see like people having fun with it. I'm going to go see a ghost, or I'm going to go like, you know, I've dealt with one ghost investigator, whatever their group was, and they were just trying to antagonize the ghosts and kind of like being assholes about it. It's like, that's not, because these spirits are at one time, they were people, they have feelings, they have emotions. So one, you should treat them with respect. That's my opinion on that whole thing. And also, if you don't really know what you're messing with, you could, I definitely believe in attraction and attachment and that kind of stuff. And there are evil spirits that if you mess with without knowing what you're doing, they could attract to you and go back to your house and do bad things. So you have to look at this stuff with caution. And if you don't want to pursue it, I want it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
But yeah, it's just, there's a whole lot going on that we don't know and we don't see. So it's just kind of taking it with caution and just trying to keep learning about it. And that's my whole motto with this show was, at the end of each episode, I say, let's keep learning together, because that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm not just trying to go find ghosts and like, oh, there's a ghost, you know, like whatever. There's an orb. Like, that's not my intent. And why would that be anybody's intention? What's the point of that? If you just want to go see something weird, and it's a lot of time and money spent in this whole category. So just to, I don't know, it's not just a fun, giddy thing, in my opinion. It's serious stuff in all.
Absolutely.
But yes, sir. Well, hey, I do really appreciate you taking the time tonight and hanging out on the show for the first live episode here in October. And I think the next three episodes I have lined up will be live. So I'm super excited about that. And you were an awesome first live guest, because those stories were phenomenal.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man. I mean, that was an experience having to retell them again. You kind of revision it all. And it's, fun times.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned that you have had a lot of out-of-body experiences. So I'm thinking maybe down the line I can like have an episode just about out-of-body experiences and bring you back and talk about them. I never had one myself.
Oh, dude. That is something that I would definitely say that would require some mental prep. But enough. Also to being open to understanding what you feel, because I tell you the stuff that the stories I can give you, and I call them stories, but really it's the experiences I can share, would blow your mind. Like, just stuff that is just what, how, and I question a lot of it sometimes too, but I've experienced a ton of crazy stuff in my life so far that, again, I don't take it for granted, but definitely something you'll want to hear someday.
Absolutely. Well, I am excited for that. We'll definitely make that happen. Have you ever experienced sleep paralysis by chance?
I don't know.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, what do you define that as?
I've experienced it, and it's not ghostly from my encounters, but basically we just, wake up. I can't move my body, but I see weird, scary stuff, and it's just a scary experience.
Feel like you're tied down, can't move. You can't walk. Yeah, I've had that many times.
Fair enough. And I honestly believe that is a gateway, possibly, because again, it's definitely scientific and it can be, explained away as a sleeping disorder. But also, like we mentioned with Joe not too long ago, sleeping is a big part of that. I actually have an episode not too long ago called Paranormal Dreaming about that. So it could all be connected, in my opinion, and that includes out-of-body experiences, any kind of dreams, sleep paralysis, lucid dreaming, all of that stuff. It's all connected. Yeah. All right, well, we have one more trailer here to show, and instead of just rambling off what shows to watch here on AEE, you can check out our awesome AEE podcast commercial. That commercial has gotten so long. Yeah, it's awesome to see. Hi, brother. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on tonight and taking the time to talk about your awesome experience. That can be a personal thing, so I super appreciate it. Be sure to check out Archie every Friday at 7:30 p.m. live right here at allupentertainment.com. Between the Pipes, all about hockey, which apparently came back in January. So,
yep.
All right, brother. Well, hey, man, you take care and you have a great night. And everybody else, if I can talk, I appreciate you all listening, and be sure to check us out on all of your favorite platforms. And like I said earlier, let's just all keep learning about the paranormal together.
Sweet.